Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome to A Call to Greatness with host, spiritual counselor, psychic, and energy management trainer, Victoria Post. In this hour, Victoria and her guest explore our individual and collective calls to greatness and support you in finding the courage and resources you need to follow through. Can you hear it? Your greatness is calling. Now here's your host, Victoria Post.
Greetings, blessings, and welcome to A Call to Greatness. That would be me, Victoria Post. I am your host for this show. And again, if you are new to the show, a special welcome to you. And if you'd like to check out my work in particular, please visit my website at www.spiritalive.com. Today we are going to explore the call of the healer. And this should be a very lively and dynamic show. I will be speaking today with a man that I consider a true healer, a guy that's got the most amazing hands on the planet, Greg Shulkin. Before we go into that part of the show, I want to start by just asking a couple of questions, leaving you with a couple of thoughts. Namely, we hear a lot of people, I hear a lot of people say, oh, I want to be a healer, I want to be a healer. And what does that really mean? Like, is it something that seems attractive? There are a number of archetypes like that, the healer, the mystic, that seem very attractive, but what does it really mean to be genuinely called to that path? What happens? What's required to follow that path? There are lots of forms for healing. And in this show, we are going to look at a very specific way. Greg is a hands-on healer. And so we will be looking at it in a specific way. But for any of you who are called to the healing path, whether it is through counseling, whether it is through hands-on work, whatever the form, I encourage you to pay attention because the path is the same, whatever the form. So I'd like to begin with a little reflection, just a few questions. And I'd like you to start by just reflecting on your hands. Just being aware of your hands. Where are they at the moment? Are they in the middle of doing something? How do you use your hands? Do you touch people a lot? Do you have a relationship with your hands? Do you allow your hands to express what's in your heart or in your soul? What happens when you shake hands with someone? What happens when someone touches you? Are you aware of other people's hands? Think about what hands can do. They can touch tenderly. They can slap. They can grab. Think also then about healing. Where you heal in your life. What form does it take? And where might you need healing? Let's take a moment to examine your own life, whether it be a physical healing, an emotional healing, a mental healing, or a spiritual healing. And in this show, whether you are looking for a cure for something, whether you are looking for relief from a situation, change of an unknown kind, or completion, allow this show, the energy from this show, to be part of that healing, whatever the healing is that you need. Open to your own intention. And also, I ask that this energy from this show contribute to a more collective healing, as so much is swirling, as so much is unresolved, as there is so much hatred and violence, that some of the energy from this show be distributed collectively. And now I invite you to sit back, to relax, to open and allow the unexpected. Just allow that healing can come from very, very unexpected places. And speaking of the unexpected, I'd like to now welcome Greg Shulkin to the show. Greg, welcome.
Thank you, Vicki.
It's wonderful to have you. The thing I can say about Greg is I always expect the unexpected from you. So,
oh, thank you for that intro.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. I have personally worked with Greg since, off and on, since 1993. And I will never forget the very, very first experience. I had an acoustic aroma. And so I remember going in and being greeted with this very sort of jovial greeting, and I remember laying on the table, and I remember you putting your hand underneath my head, and my first thought was, wow, somebody just put a wonderful pillow under my head, and I remember being very surprised. Oh, that was his hand. It was an incredible experience. So, Greg, why don't you start just by introducing yourself a little bit. How did you actually wind up working as a healer?
Well, how I wound up was I was chosen by a healer to apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
Is what officially got me started.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to my childhood and the use of my healing abilities. Without being trained, I remember saying my prayers at night for family members and friends who were ill. No one taught me to do that. I just instinctively
uh-huh.
would do that.
Mm-hmm.
My mother remembered one of her favorite stories was when I was, I think, 6 years old, and this family moved into the neighborhood, and they had a six-year-old who stammered and had all his life. And kids made fun of him. He was very self-conscious, but he was a wonderful guy.
Oh.
And I liked him. We had such fun together, and I know he felt self-conscious about it, but it didn't bother me. He was just a wonderful person. So we had, within 6 months, though, his stammer disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother didn't tell me until I had finished my apprenticeship that she remembered that the mother of this boy called her and told her, thank you for
wow.
having your son.
Wow.
And,
wow.
She thought I had something to do with that, just our friendship. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But it was a wonderful, wonderful moment.
Right.
And I can reflect on those situations in a few of those in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But healing, becoming a healer is different than having an experience, you know, occasional experience of healing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The training became, can I do this daily? Can I do
yeah.
this on call?
Mm-hmm.
In the Philippines, my teacher would see up to, there were times we went into the mountain province up to a village where we'd see 300 people each a day.
Aye, 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 aye.
You know, there mm-hmm. was no time to talk. There was merely focus.
Mm-hmm.
Shift, focus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
why the Philippines? How'd you wind up in the Philippines?
Well, the fates took me there.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about the call to greatness, well, first I have to address greatness.
Mm-hmm.
I had a student 20 years ago who wanted to be a healer, and I saw he had ability, and I saw I could help him, so I took him in. as an apprentice. And he was so happy that he went to, he had been practicing Tibetan Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to his lama and told his lama that he was studying to be a healer, and he was really happy because he, you know, this is incredible. This is an incredible tool, and his teacher looks at him and says, ah, yes, incredible tool. Sort of like a screwdriver. And the student was heartbroken.
Oh, no!
Well, maybe a Phillips head screwdriver, a little bit special. And
mm-hmm.
Well, maybe, but just a screwdriver.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, it's a tool.
Right.
And it's, you don't do it to be special.
Mm-hmm.
You do it because there's the gift of healing. That gift of healing is teaching the healer compassion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You touched on a number of things that I'd like to expand on just in that one sentence. First of all, as a healer, what's your definition of healing? Like, what does that even mean?
Ooh, that's good.
I know.
Have we got a couple weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in its simplest form, it's the way I see it is ease with our energetic self, ease with our spirit, when our spirit in body. When our spirit is together with ourselves in body, that's where we come to healing. That's where I found, and I was trained to treat physical illness.
Mm-hmm.
Much of physical illness can just drop away because the body will take care of it. When we come to this harmony,
mm-hmm.
of these different aspects of self.
Right.
And I guess that's probably the easiest definition.
Right. And, of course, not all physical illness does drop away.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. I mean, you know, the nature of Christianity and what they call bearing the cross,
mm-hmm.
is to bear that which can't be resolved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we all carry something in our lives. I mean, we're here to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, on this mm-hmm. planet. And in that learning, we have aspects of ourselves that are what we might call weaknesses. You know, we're a full spectrum of being. We're a light self, we're a dark self. And it's not to say eliminate the darkness within us. It's how we can blend that with the light self,
mm-hmm.
and find ourselves flowing in that process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I first came to you, I had this acoustic neuroma. I had this tumor in the back of my head, and I was kind of starting the process of losing the hearing in one ear, and I was pretty scared about it. And I remember going with the idea of, wow, maybe we can actually make this thing go away, and I'll be fine. And it kind of didn't take too long for me to figure out that that's not what was happening. That the tumor, in fact, did not go away. What did happen, however, is that I got a lot more present for the experience, that I remember having a greater sense of well-being, and I remember when I finally did go for the surgery, the surgeons commenting, they said, we've never had anyone show up this present for the surgery. And I attributed that very much to the work that I did with you.
That's great.
And that, to me, was a whole different kind of healing than I had anticipated.
And most people
mm-hmm.
here don't realize that that is part of the healing.
Right.
You know, our path doesn't necessarily, toward our healing, toward our physical health, doesn't necessarily end in the hands of the healer. But a doctor may be a healer as well.
Right.
And have to be included in that mix.
Yeah. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about how these different models of healing actually mix and when they don't. When we come back on A Call to Greatness, so do stay with us. We'll be right back. And remember, if you have a question or comment, you are welcome to join us at 866-472-5795. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, spiritalive.com. Victoria Post at spiritalive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real and down to earth.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can give myself a bath. I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
And welcome back to A Call to Greatness. I am Victoria Post, and I'm here today with Greg Shelkin, who is a healer who has a practice in San Rafael, California, a man that I consider to be a true healer. And we were talking right before the break about considering doctors as healers as well and including them in the mix. And I'd really like to hear kind of more stories, Greg, about how or if you actually work in tandem or in conjunction with doctors and what happens when your philosophies don't mix.
Well, working with doctors over the years is not, you know, it's not the norm, but I've had a few doctors refer patients to me. I'll refer my patients to doctors, back to their doctors when I see that that's really what's necessary.
Right.
Sometimes they don't want to hear that.
I know I didn't.
Well, yeah, you know. In the same time I was seeing you, I was seeing a 12-year-old boy who had an acoustic neuroma. And what I was able with him in becoming present, he was able to find within himself a way to release the energy of that neuroma. And when he did, and I gave him this magic owl feather, and he drew the energy of that into the owl feather, and he was 12 years old. 10 years later, just a couple of years ago, he comes into my office. He's a grown man. And he hadn't seen me since he was 12, when that his neuroma disappeared. And so he comes in and says, do you know who I am? I looked at him, and he's, you know, he's 6'2", and I go, no, who are you? And he reminded me, and I had still had, he did a thank you when the doctor, when the scans came back and it was gone, and everyone shook their head and said it was misdiagnosed at that point. But he wrote me a little note with the feather. They made it into a pen.
Mm-hmm.
And,
wow.
Thanking me for it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I had done for him.
Mm-hmm.
That was on my wall until last year, and now it's in a box seat.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So.
Yeah. Where is
it?
Right?
So it happens, you know, it happens, and sometimes it's a process that takes you through the medical process. Other times,
mm-hmm.
it takes you away from it.
Mm-hmm.
The doctors I appreciate are the doctors who, when I work with a patient, they're willing to test the patient.
Mm-hmm.
Before they proceed. And when they see changes, positive changes in the patient, they're open enough because their concern is for the patient's well-being, not necessarily just to follow protocol.
Mm-hmm. And right.
As we all know, healing is really about being present with each person.
Yeah.
And when they are, I see the magic of medicine can happen as well. And
mm-hmm.
that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I remember the doctor saying to me when I told him that I was going to see you, he said, I'm pretty skeptical. You do whatever you got to do, but I'm pretty skeptical.
Well, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
He at least said that.
Right.
You know, that doctor I can appreciate
yeah.
because there's more, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's Shakespeare, it's Hamlet, there's more to your... to life than can be dreamt of in your philosophy, Horatio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And of course, afterwards, when he asked how I was able to do the recovery that I did and how I was able to show up, I told him.
Right.
I told him.
And I've had doctors say, you're seeing who? Well, great, I don't know who he is, but keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had doctors who, when they're stymied because they don't have an answer, they'll say, well, what did Greg say?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's a network. I work with acupuncturists. It's easier with
other alternative, yeah. Mm-hmm.
People, but there are a few doctors who we will consult.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there are lots of ways to heal. There are lots of ways to respond to what I kind of see as a call. It's like an archetype calls you or something just guides you in that direction. You said the fates took you to the Philippines. What was your journey as you what did you have to do in yourself to step into being a healer?
Well,
I talked about being able to just every day shift and focus. But
My time in the Philippines after being chosen, I mean, in part, I was in denial. I never had a plan to take this path.
Mm-hmm. Of course not.
No way. You know, I had my life planned.
Mm.
You know, and then
mm-hmm.
this happened, and I find myself, this man comes, and I wanted to film. And he was off into the mountains in the Philippines, and I said, well, if I could go with you, fine. You know, I'd like to go. And he said, let me check with my guidance. And he came back the next day and said, it's your choice. And I lit up like a light bulb. I didn't know what this was, but I was so excited.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's great, but first you must know that if you stay, we're going to work much together. And okay. I'm a big man. I can lift people up on his table for him. You know, I can help him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I speak English.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that'll help a lot in
the mountains and the Philippines.
Where they don't speak any English.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I wanted to go,
mm-hmm.
and that first night, he saw and tested how far I could go with this,
mm-hmm.
how much of this energy I could handle, and how much of the concept of healing coming through me
mm-hmm.
I could be with.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it was that, how much could I hold? And I believed in people's ability to be well. I believed in the magic and the mystery
mm-hmm.
of that's my dog Molly.
So does Molly.
Mm-hmm. I believe in that ability. I've lost it.
Mm-hmm. So what happened? What did this journey take you through as you began to step into the world of the healer?
So what he would give me were a series of exercises and meditations.
Mm-hmm.
I had practiced meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So it was first to go inside to feel that within myself.
Mm-hmm.
And feel that place of what healing is, and as he said, put my hand and let the energy just flow between me and another person. So it was to get that awareness. It was much like your beginning meditation, just becoming really aware of my hands and what happens when I come into contact. He didn't tell me about caring for people, but I found myself with a patient standing there, and all I could do was care as I stood there with my hand on them.
Right, right.
And then my hand started to tingle and warm and cold and all kinds of weird sensations.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
And so my own curiosity took me further. But first it was pyrotechnics. It was, what did I feel? Okay?
Right.
That got me. That was the first steps. And then the next step was my commitment to healing. Of, you know, I get to see and treat maybe one person a week and in the beginning. And then he'd have me with 3 to 5. And then there was 10 to 20. Then there was 20 to 40 people a week. And then it was up to 100 people a week. So building that and how I could be present with each one of these people, really, you know, for when I reached about 10 people a week, I found myself, well, do I really want to do this? You know, it was about the commitment to it. It was like, okay, well, I enjoyed doing that part of it. Well, this, you know, this is getting to look a lot like work.
Right.
And, you know, a commitment to help these folks. But then all I would have to do is be present with they're talking about their issue, and I found myself becoming more present again. So it was that process of staying in contact with the person in front of me.
I imagine, too, that it must have been a process, a little bit of working through trimming your ego.
Well, no.
No. Oh, the ego still present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was my call to greatness.
Yeah, to greatness. Very good.
Oh, hey, huh?
Very good. New show title.
But learning how to get out of the way, how to get out of the way, that's where the meditation had come in. I think that's what had really gotten me started and allowed me to start that path. Because if I couldn't get out of my own way from the beginning, I don't think I would have been there in that situation at all. I wouldn't have recognized it. I would have been too caught up in my plan for myself. And I was headed off to Europe to apprentice as a sculptor, and I had all these things happening. I knew what my life was going to do consciously, you know. And then this comes up, and all of a sudden it twings something inside of me that says yes.
Wow. So we'll talk a little bit more about how to get out of one's own way and what happens over time as you continue to work as a healer. So again, all of you, please stay with us. You are welcome to join us as well with your questions and comments. That number again is 866-472-5794. And do stay with us, and we'll be back on A Call to Greatness with Greg Shelkin. So stay right with us. We'll be back.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, spiritalive.com. Victoria Post at spiritalive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real and down to earth.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
Thank you, and welcome back to A Call to Greatness. And we are talking today about healing, the call of the healer, and related sorts of things. My guest today is Greg Shelkin, a true hands-on healer who works in San Rafael, California. And one of the things that I always kind of wondered about is there are so many people who tell me, oh, I want to quit my job and I want to go be a healer. I really want to be a healer. And, you know, half the time I say, you know, we need you doing your healing work where you are right now. Stay there. But how, I imagine people say this to you from time to time. What do you say to them?
Well, exactly that. You know, that healing takes all forms. Healing is a part of life. As I grew up, I felt myself an artist, and I feel, and healing is an art form. So this is just, for me, another art form, but
mm-hmm.
for most people, I think that healing should be a daily occurrence with them in their life, how they lead their life. And if they can, what people are talking about usually is they want to quit life
right.
to become a healer.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, let's look at our lives and how can this moment be healing? How can my relationships at work be healing instead
yeah.
of a detriment?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And how can I make this flow better?
Mm-hmm.
And move toward, because once you start doing that, then your life starts to shift and change where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're meant to be a healer, things happen. You know, I got to the Philippines the first time because my mother was ill, not because I wanted to go to the Philippines and look at healers.
Mm-hmm.
She had been ill for 5 years. Medicine
right.
wasn't helping.
Mm-hmm.
Someone said, oh, you should see these films of these healers. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw, wanted to go, but had never been out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
I was...
You went with her.
I took her, you know. I was brave young son and mercenary, because for me it then meant I could go on to Japan and look at Zen Buddhism
mm-hmm.
and all kinds of things and Oriental art. And I was really excited about that part of it. I had no idea when I got there that it would be the Philippines. I wanted to change my life. And the Philippines is what changed my life, not what I thought would.
Right. Yeah, I think the key is that if one is called to healing work, such as direct hands-on work, such as counseling, such as that kind of guidance, that it happens quite organically rather than stopping life. One of my favorite stories is I remember going to the airport once, and I had this super shuttle driver who, there was just something about him. He had an amazing presence. And it was a real healing presence. It was early in the morning, and he had this shuttle full of people who were kind of grumpy. By the time we got to the airport, we were talking, we were laughing. People were saying, wow, I'd never had a shuttle ride like this. And I got out of the van and he gave me a hug and I felt like I'd been hugged by God. Like, you know, I wrote them, don't ever let this guy go. And it was a real example to me of someone whose presence was a healing in a very ordinary way.
Oh, I know. Old patient of mine who was a plumber who wanted to change his life, but realized that actual plumbing, he could help people. He could be a healing influence to people by just being in their homes and doing that job as well as he does and being who he is, changes the energy of the home that he's visiting. I don't work in homes. I work in my office.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you can go in and change the energy of a place, in a space, you know,
mm-hmm.
from the very skeleton, the very base of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's about, becoming, you know, the mechanic who really takes pride in his work and feels at that. I don't heal cars. Go ahead. You've got a real touch. You can tell what's going on in there.
Right.
You know?
Right. Has there been any particular things in your work that really surprised you or really moved you?
Well, okay, I've been at this 32 years. Each year surprises me. That's why I'm still doing it. I'm still surprised by it and how, what happens, how it works. One of my favorites this last year were, was this young couple. I had worked with the husband as a teenager, and he knew my work, but the wife didn't, and she was kind of standoffish about all this. And then they got pregnant, and doing the sonogram on the fetus, they found that there was a crimp in the aorta, and the baby was only getting 20% blood flow.
Woo.
So they were all set. They found at UCLA the specialist, the top specialist in the world for pediatric cardiology. And he took the case on. He saw, and he said, this is really dangerous. As soon as we're going to wait till the baby's born, and then as soon as the baby's born, we're going to have to do open-heart surgery.
Welcome to the world, kid.
And... yeah, so the mother is scared to death of all that's going to go on with this first baby and her first pregnancy, and what is this world? And so the husband calls me and talk to her about it, and she says, "I don't. What can he do? I mean, we can't even get up there to see him. They don't live here in the Bay Area."
Mm-hmm.
And so he called and said, "What can we do, Greg?" And I said, "Well, let me work on it because I do some work at a distance as well." And so I said, what have we got to lose? You have to wait until birth anyway. We've got 5 months.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Give me the 5 months. Let's see what can happen. And they checked in a couple of months, and the baby, the doctor was noticing there was a little bit better blood flow. But for the birth, which was a C-section, the specialist from UCLA was there with a helicopter and his team at the hospital waiting to take the baby back down to L.A. for the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was in place. The baby was born, and they found that the aorta was 95% healed.
Wow.
The specialist is sort of shaking his head and saying, well, we really should go do this anyway. And the dad had the presence about himself to look at the guy and say, well, one, it's 95% well. He said, well, this never happens. He says, well, you know, if this never happens, wouldn't that make a great paper?
Yeah. Oh, good call.
And the doctor just sort of lit up and said, ooh, I need to take some specifics on this.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got into that and just let... And the baby now is 4 years old, and there is not even a trace of a heart problem.
Wow. Wow.
And he never told the doctor what they had done.
Mm-hmm.
But now when they have a problem, a health problem in the family, the mom calls me.
Of course. Of course.
Which is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the best way. You know, it's not about she had to believe. And the little baby, I don't know if the baby believed.
Right, right.
But the baby wanted to be well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key in it, I think.
It's just wanting to be well.
Yeah, and
yeah.
In the healing, an important aspect of the healing is, for me, is that getting myself out of the way is part of it, but also I remember being tested in the 80s. I used to be a guinea pig to any experiment to come along. I like science. And I wanted them to see if there were ways of testing this to find out what it is. So at UC, they did, University of California, they did a lot of testing on me. And they kept looking for myself quieting my mind. And they thought that was what healing was about. And I kept trying to tell them that it wasn't. And ultimately, we found out that instead of my brain wave going into this wonderful alpha state, that my brainwave would increase in frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And then what they called disappeared behind what is the frequency of tense muscle of 60 cycles. And what I call that, and what I call healing for me, is mostly a focus of intention.
Right. Yeah.
So and that takes ego.
Right.
And the true healer is the one who learns how to take... Bring,
yeah.
Not just get rid of ego, but bring ego then into the mix and use that to help in the situation.
Right. So channeling ego, and this is what I call energy muscle, and using it and directing it and bringing that intention. And to me, that was my experience. That was part of my experience. We'll talk about the next part of the experience.
That's the shaman's trick.
That's the shaman's trick. And really, really interesting. So we'll continue this discussion because I think this is really a fascinating way to look at healing. So we will be right back. You all have one more chance to join in the conversation. And I invite you to do that at 866-472-5795. In the meantime, stay with us. We will be right back on A Call to Greatness.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, spiritalive.com. Victoria Post at spiritalive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real and down to earth.
Adding fractions is nothing.
For real?
Look, these are denominators. You multiply this one so that it's the same as that, then you add them up.
Man, that's easy.
Charles Bennett dreamed of returning to the old neighborhood as a teacher, but without money for college, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A message from the UNCF and the Ad Council.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
And welcome back to A Call to Greatness. I am Victoria Post, and today I am with healer Greg Shelkin. We are talking about healing, the call of the healer, and all things related. And before the break, we were talking about the process of not just sort of quieting the mind, but actually bringing a focus of intention. You'd said on the break there, Greg, that quieting the mind was kind of like taking off the raincoat. One of the things that I noticed right away working with you is that you not only brought intention, but you actually distracted me. That you brought a lot of humor and a lot of, I remember I was so caught up in my issues, and of course I wanted to talk about them, and we ended up talking about washing machines and football and everything but my issues. It was probably the best thing you did for me, but do you do that deliberately?
Well, at times.
Mm-hmm.
Again, depending on the patient.
Uh-huh.
I mean, some people need to talk. Mm-hmm. About it, need to be in touch with that. Other people need to be diverted from it because they're so focused on it that they can't allow something new in. Because I believe that, you know, if you knew what to do, you would have done it.
Right.
And you do know what to do. You just have to get out of your way so you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that can, you know, it depends on who you are. It comes down to being present with the person. And the first step in becoming present with the person, yeah, is to take off your coat, be there, be vulnerable with them,
uh-huh.
And then move on to the next step, which is that focus of intention, of setting the intention. When I first started working, and I get that one person a week to work on, it used to take me an hour to meditate, to sort of clear my mind. Before I would become present with the person. Then I'd go see the person right away, and then it'd take me an hour of almost guttural grunting to focus the healing.
Mm.
And just do that. And then an hour or two to come down from that.
Uh-huh.
And that moved into ultimately working on a person, an average in the Philippines, an average of about 3.5 minutes.
Wow.
And talking to them, as my teacher did all the time while you're working, because you're either talking about it, you're diverting mm-hmm. them from it. It depends on where you are with that person. Being present and then taking it to step, once you focus on your intention, which is healing, mm-hmm. what is healing for this person, then it will take you down that path of, yeah, let's talk football, you know, or have you talked to this illness? You know, have you listened to your illness?
Right.
You know, have you listened to your body?
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I gather humor is one of the tools that you use.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
you, humor, tears and humor are ways of releasing conflicted energies within ourselves. We're stuck in knowing, well, yes, but. I've got this answer, but, and to release the energy of that, the impact of, because that causes what I see sometimes is a paralysis. We can't do anything because we see both sides.
Oh, yeah, I kind of live my life.
So if we, yeah. As you do, though, you laugh, you release, and then you move on, you feel for what's appropriate for me in this moment.
Right.
You know, it's not what's appropriate because you'll always find that mm-hmm. polarization of it.
Mm-hmm. So there can be lots of appropriate answers.
Yes,
it's just
but in your moment, for you
moment.
At this moment,
mm-hmm.
you know, there. Let's take a step.
Mm-hmm.
And where is that? Where do I want that mm-hmm. step to be?
Yeah.
And where does the world want me to step?
Yeah, well, there is that, too.
Yeah.
There is that, too. And what about, you know, some people who really get in there and participate in their healing, and then other people who show up and just kind of go, okay, do me.
Well, you've got all kinds.
Uh-huh.
You know, and for some, either path is appropriate. For others, it's, you know, people who are so involved and they still haven't done it. Sometimes you have to get them out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
For some who aren't involved at all, you have to get them involved. And some you just leave uninvolved because mm-hmm. all you need to do is work with them energetically. They know how to do it. They're just, you know, again, it's being present.
Yeah.
Truly being present.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading, they're doing studies. There's neurophysiology is a
mm-hmm.
new branch of medicine, and they're actually studying empathy. And there's a class in one medical school in the country now teaching empathy to doctors.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, well, that's new.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, either doctor has it or he doesn't, but
exactly.
You know, teach it.
Okay.
They get a chance then to really learn how to treat a patient and not just the pathology.
Right. Right. Wow. So is there anything you would especially like to offer listeners who might be drawn to this path, or anything in particular that you'd like to leave them with?
Basically, to be in harmony with yourself. Wherever you are. And if you're in harmony with yourself, then the path will make itself known. You don't have to go looking for it. It will come and hit you on the head.
And, whoa, be aware when it does, huh?
Oh, pretty much. You'll know it's happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And your life will be more fulfilling.
This sounds like a really good piece of advice for anyone, whether you are seeking healing, whether you are looking at being a healer, this idea of being in harmony with the self, being in harmony with the light, with your life. And, of course, it's real easy to say.
Well, yeah, and it's not staying in harmony. It's about how we get back to harmony.
Uh-huh. So,
because things pull us out all the time.
Yeah.
And so how can we, when we're out there and life is pulled us from that state of peacefulness to how do we return to that, and how do we find peacefulness even in the dissonance of this universe?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not always the harmony, isn't always the four-part harmony that we expect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, look at, you know, a lot of 20th century music.
Hey, there you go.
Good example.
Exactly.
Good example. And this also seems like a really good piece of advice collectively. How do we keep coming back to peace? Because we are certainly in a discordant time.
Yeah, it comes down. I guess the one word with that is tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
It's learning to be present and accepting of all kinds of that full, again, that full spectrum from
mm-hmm.
light to dark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and accept that and find ourselves moving through it instead of so fearful.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah. So being willing to step into life, being willing to just see what's in front of us and take it on.
Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah, that sounds like an absolutely wonderful piece of advice. And to anyone who is called, then, does the teacher usually show up?
The teacher shows up, whether it's an external teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my teacher's favorite teaching to me was one phrase, which was, oh, you'll know. Which really ticked me off when
mm-hmm.
I was young. But ultimately, it came down to that. I had to find ways within myself to find the answers.
Yeah, when I was in clairvoyant training, the common answer to every question I would ask was, ask yourself.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Right, and I paid money for that.
Hey, there you go, you know. And ultimately, when you find that pathway, then when people come to you with something you've never seen before and they say, well, have you worked with it? Well, no, I haven't worked with this, but my work works to find answers, not to have answers.
Right. To find answers, not to have answers. So, thank you. That's a wonderful way to close. And I want to thank you, Greg, so much for being part of this show. And it's been very enlightening and always a pleasure to sit with you, whatever the context.
Thank you, Vicki, and for everyone to be well.
Thank you, and thank you all for tuning in to this week's edition of A Call to Greatness. I invite you to go back and listen again in the archives if there's something that you missed this time around. And I invite you to join us again next week on A Call to Greatness when we look at how to find freedom within limitations. So be well, open to healing, either as a practice in your daily life or if you need to receive it as well. Have a wonderful, blessed week. Take good care, and may you always remember that you are always being called to your greatness.
Thank you for listening to A Call to Greatness. To contact Victoria, visit spiritalive.com. Tune in next Wednesday for another profound hour on A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post.